you'd be dismissed to Sunday school. Praise the Lord. He ransomed me.
Amen.
That's worth singing about. And you can turn to 1 Corinthians. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, it's true. Jesus can take a poor lost sinner.
That's right.
He can lift you from the miry clay. He can save your soul. That is true.
Thank you, Lord.
1 Corinthians chapter 6. We have been going through the book of Corinthians and just getting some lessons from Corinth. And we've been looking at errors that we can avoid, errors that we should avoid, right? And there's a lot of things to learn there. Last week we talked about the errors in judgment, and we're going to continue that because we didn't quite finish. Errors in judgment, and we were talking about errors in judging others. Errors in judging unbelievers, and then errors in judging other believers, and how we might go about that, and when do we need to judge, and when we don't need to judge, and how are we going to judge? And let me just, I want to read a verse in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15, because the truth is if you're always, you know, pointing the finger, if you're always looking around and casting judgment on other people, like this is something you're constantly doing, then you're probably in an error. You know, there's probably a mistake there. You shouldn't be continually always finding yourself judging other people, yeah. Right? So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15 says something really interesting. He says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer." That's right, good advice. Hey, don't suffer as a murderer. Let none of you suffer as a murderer. He says, let none of you suffer as a thief. Yeah, these are things you should stay away from. You should not be part of this group, nor as an evildoer. And then he says, or as a busybody in other men's matters. You know, I think we have to learn how to learn when to judge and when not to judge. And he's saying, hey, stop getting into others people's matters. You shouldn't think that everything concerns you and you have to jump into every situation. And if you find yourself in that stance where you're always going with your opinion, you always have a reason and you're always looking at somebody else and always figuring out what they need to do and how they can fix it and how to fix their life, and you're always jumping in and meddling with other people's lives, you're doing wrong. Stop judging others. Now, there are matters, and we talked about it, there are matters that are concerning you. And if somebody does something to you directly, then you have to judge that. You have to jump in, and you have to get it right and settle it and fix it. But if it's just other people's matters, other people's business, stop jumping in for no reason. And the truth is, you're just causing problems for yourself, and you're probably causing problems for that matter also. You're not helping by jumping in when nobody called you. Right? Nobody called you over. You don't need to jump in to these matters. So just remember that. I think it's very interesting that he puts that in the same list. You really need to consider that. Don't be jumping into other people's matters. Don't be a busybody. Because you're a Christian, you shouldn't do that. Okay, but today what we're going to start off in is errors in judging yourself, because this is what you should be doing. This is something you need to do. You need to judge yourself. That's where it starts. In fact, Peter does tell us that judgment starts, right, in the house of the Lord. It starts here. It starts with ourselves, and you should judge yourself.
Amen.
First. And I think Jesus talks about that in Matthew chapter 7. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 just to start this off. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. He says this: "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." You know, there's something you should do. You should examine your own self. And you can, and you should. You should prove your own self. And again, it's very interesting how we like to look at other people and all the time think about them and find out them. And should we judge whether other people are in the faith or not? Well, like I said, there are some times, and we talked about that last week, there are some times where you do have to judge other people. But what about judging yourself? This would be the right place to start, and you should judge yourself whether you are in the faith. Now, this helps because if you're not in the faith, you might find out that you're not, and you can do something about it. You should figure out where your trust is, where your confidence is. A lot of people are putting their confidence in their own selves. Your faith is in yourself, where you think you're doing good works to save yourself. And you know, this might be a mistake if you think about it correctly. Your faith should be in Jesus Christ. And if you don't judge yourself, then you're going to be in an error. And you have to judge your own self. So when it comes to salvation, when it comes to being in the faith and living in the faith also, right? Living your faith out, you should judge yourself. Now, you should judge yourself for a number of reasons. But 1 Corinthians, so we're in 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 28 says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." You know, whenever we're participating in the Lord's Supper, you need to consider what reasons you have and what intentions you have. You got to consider whether you're doing things right, whether you're not doing things right. And the truth is that when you examine yourself, you're able to find out if there's something wrong in you so that you can get right with God. This is the reason for examining yourself. You examine yourself so that you can be corrected, right? So you can correct yourself. Further down in there, verse 31, he says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." In other words, that if you examine yourself with honest self-examination, you can prevent God's chastening upon your life. You can prevent God from having to interfere in your life to correct you if you would just examine yourself. Now, wouldn't that be a lot better than going through all the things that you have to go through? Trust me, there are examples, there are testimonies, even in this church that would tell you, "Boy, why did I go so far? I went far down that road until God had to get a hold of me when I could have just repented before." Why would you wait until God has to chasten you?
Right.
When you have an opportunity to examine yourself and fix yourself. We have to have daily examination. And self-judgment, what does that look like? Well, I think self-judgment looks like where you're examining your life and there's a lot of confession being done. A lot of confession being done. I'm going to read Lamentations, Lamentations chapter 3, just for getting the feel of how he speaks here. I think this is a right way of thinking. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 40 says this: "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned." You know, if we did a self-examination continually, I think if you were on a daily basis examining yourself, looking at yourself, searching and trying your ways, you would realize how much you need to turn unto God. And you could turn unto God. But if you don't examine yourself and you just want to continue in your ways and you stay rebellious, then God is going to have to come in with judgment. You can examine yourself. And what this looks like is a lot of confession. Yeah. You realize that a Christian life doesn't mean that you're never going to sin again. And a lot of Christians want to act like they never sin again. And you know, that's some type of faith that's feigned, like the Bible says, right? He wants us to live in unfeigned faith. In other words, not faked. You don't have to live a fake Christian life. You don't have to come to church and pretend like you have been so holy all week. You are just pretty much above everybody else. Stop pretending. Stop acting like you're some, in, you know, wow, God type of person that lives so righteous, so holy that nobody can even come close to you. Look, that's a fake Christian. You don't need to be a fake Christian. What you do need to be is a real Christian. And that means you self-examine. You look at your life, you look at yourself, and you judge. And you find out where you're wrong, and you can confess your sin and get it right. And that's why 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is so important to the Christian life. If we confess our faults, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Jesus can forgive you of your sins. But if you're not repentant, then it's going to come down to where He has to chastise you for them. And so, Christian, don't live a fake life of false holiness. Recognize and judge yourself, and whenever you find out where you're wrong, you need to repent.
Amen.
And I tell you, I think this is probably going to be a daily basis.
Yeah.
I think it's a daily basis, and you're going to find yourself. You're going to find yourself, you know, during the day, you're just going to be talking to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. My thoughts, what is going into my head? What are my eyes seeing, and what is my head translating it to? You know, forgive me, Lord. You're just going to have a constant communication with the Lord, recognizing that you're wrong, and you want to say, Lord, please forgive me. And this will create a real humility in you if you're always examining yourself, because you're going to recognize, boy, I have to be corrected by the Lord all the time. I have to get right with the Lord all the time. How are we going to walk around acting like we're so much better than everybody else and judging everybody else and condemning everybody else if we are recognizing that, boy, every day I am confessing to the Lord so that He can forgive me of my sins, and He does.
That's right.
So judge yourself. Judge yourself first. Judge yourself daily. Judge yourself often. This needs to be done. It's like a gardener who's always having to take out those little weeds, right? You see a little weed growing, you take it out. Take it out early, because if you let it grow, it becomes a bigger problem. So why would we do that? Let this be a continual thing that you do in your life. Judge yourself. Self-examine. And get yourself right. All those little things that come up, the quicker you get them, the quicker you deal with them, the better, the easier, the faster. I mean, you won't have to deal with big problems if you catch them quick. Like Hebrews talks about that, those roots of bitterness. You know, those things, boy, those things are real dangerous, and they can cause real problems in your life, in your family's life, in the church's life. Those little roots of bitterness, why don't you catch those early and pull them out?
Amen.
Instead of just letting them grow and get big and become strong, catch those things early. So we must judge ourselves. We must judge ourselves. That means we're going to have to judge actions. We're going to have to judge lifestyle. We're going to have to judge things we do. We have to judge our habits and our liberties. We have to judge all these things. And so you need to consider your life and consider what you're doing, consider how you're living. And sometimes you're going to have to say, you know what? I shouldn't be living like this. I shouldn't be doing this. You should tell yourself so that you don't have to be judged by somebody else. Again, so that if your life constantly looks like somebody else coming to you and saying, hey, this doesn't really look good for a Christian. Hey, if your whole life you're being constantly approached by other Christians telling you, hey, you know, what you're doing doesn't look right, then there's something wrong. Why don't you look at yourself so that other people don't have to judge you? Judge yourself first. And you gotta judge your actions. You gotta think about what you're doing and how you're living. And that's what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 12. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, I think Paul is dealing with some one-liners that these Christians had, all these one-liners, you know, and when they would get in arguments or whenever they would spit out these things, right? Like, all things are lawful for me. All things are lawful unto me. They'd spit out these little arguments they had, like to win their case. Well, you can't judge me. All things are lawful unto me. And Paul is just trying to think about it, and he's saying, hey guys, you know, what y'all are saying is wrong. It's not right. You're not understanding the full extent of what you're saying. And so he gives, I think, his follow-up on the second part. That's why he says, okay, y'all are saying all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now this again should be your self-examination. This is what you should desire to do in your life. You're going to look around and you're going to think some things, oh yeah, I could do that. I could do that. But is it all convenient for you to do? Should you do all of these things? Spiritual maturity isn't just about knowing what's allowed. It's about knowing what is best for you. And it's funny how there's a line. We always want to find the line. Where's the line? How close can I get to the line? Stop looking for the line. Stop looking for the line. Why don't you look for what's best for you? Right? I mean, if I say, hey, that right over there, that's dangerous. Why do you want to go right up to it? Why not stay away from it? That would be best. And you should be judging that. You should be thinking that way. Paul says, I'm not going to be brought under the power of any. Oh yeah, you say I can do this and I can do that. But you know that these things will catch you and grab you and hold on to you and not let go of you. So you need to beware. You need to take care of that. Don't just ask, is this allowed? You should ask yourself, is it right to do? Can I? Versus should I? Right? Some things you can do, but should you do it?
Right.
I mean, it's not always smart. Remember Lena and I and some of the young people in Mexico, we were walking up the cliffs and a mountain, and we came to a spot where there was a cliff right here, and there was a little pond in middle, and on the other side it was lower. So one side was higher and one side was lower, and we were on the high side. And I thought, wow, wouldn't it be cool to jump over to the other side? And they said, well, no, you can't do that. It's too far. And I said, no, I think you can, because, you know, you have the impulse and you'll be able to make it. If you do it, you can. And they did not think we could do it. But I said, we can. And so to prove my point, I did it. I ran and I jumped across, and boy, it looked like I was running in the air. Yeah. And I landed, and I was able to do it, but I hurt myself. I hurt my foot, sprained my ankle. They had to carry me down the mountain. But I did it. But just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. Just because you can do something doesn't mean it's going to be good for you to do it. And a lot of us Christians are playing around with what we can do, and we want to use this as an excuse. Well, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. And you know, how far you want to take your liberties, you know, you're going to have to judge all that. But just because something may be lawful for you to do doesn't mean you should do it. And Paul makes that very clear. Don't just ask, is it allowed? You need to ask if it's right. Now, think about it. Living by grace doesn't mean living without wisdom. You may say, well, I'm under grace. And of course, I don't think this is what he's saying. I don't think Paul isn't actually saying everything is allowed. He'll get to that and explain that later on. Not everything is allowed. That's not true. But if you're in an error and you're thinking, oh, I'm saved by grace, I can do all things. Well, even if you could do all things, would it be wise to do all things? No, you got to live by wisdom. Even if God in His liberty has given you the power to do all things, if He's given over to you His vineyard and says, here, take care of it. You can do anything you want with it. You could not ever get up and just lay down and in bed all day and not take care of that thing. You have that liberty to do so, maybe. But that's not wise. And you will be held accountable later on. Even though you have the liberty to do or not to do, you are going to be held accountable for it. So Christian liberty, the liberty you have, isn't about how much stuff you can do. It's the power to allow you to do what you should do. That's Christian liberty. And you need to judge yourself. You need to judge the actions that you do. You need to think about what you're doing and if it's beneficial. If it actually is going to help you. And otherwise, you should stay away from it. It's interesting, when you judge yourself, you end up, a lot of times, lowering your standard. Right? Oh, when we're judging other people, oh, look at what it says. Oh, judging other people. But then when we judge ourselves, we're like, well, I'm better than him. Right? Somehow, the standard is lowered. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians. Paul is talking in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 12, he says this. He says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Here you got people, they're comparing themselves among themselves, and it's not wise. Why are you judging yourself and comparing yourselves to other people? Why are you lowering that standard of whenever you're judging yourself? You start feeling good about yourself because you're not like him. So you need to judge yourself, but you need to judge yourself according to righteousness, right? Who is your example to follow? That's Jesus. And if you're going to judge yourself with others, you judge yourself by others that are following Jesus the same way. But somehow when we judge ourselves, we always lower the standard. We always, I guess it's to make ourselves feel better, like we're doing okay. But we want to lower that standard. And if you're lowering the standard to judge yourself, then you're going to be wrong all the time. It's like using the wrong ruler. One time, Donnie and I, we were building this, it was a little room for some lady on her house, and we were having to use the boards that were there already. And so I got out and I was putting up the posts, and I was using my level, and we were putting it on. And got the next one, put it on the next one. We did about five or six of those. And then I step back and I look at it, and everything looked like it was sideways. It was all leaning. And I thought, what's going on? Donnie said, no, yeah, something's wrong. And he got his level and put it next to mine. We compared them, and my level was wrong. My level, the bubble was just, I don't know why, my level was wrong. And therefore everything we had done was wrong. And that's kind of how it is when we start comparing ourselves by ourselves and with ourselves and amongst ourselves. True. We think, oh, I'm better than him. Well, who cares? Whoop-de-doo. That doesn't mean much. The building's still leaning.
Right.
So compare yourself with the one that deserves comparison. Judge yourself with true righteousness, not amongst ourselves, just to make us feel better. Now, judging yourself isn't just thinking about what's going to affect you and how it's going to affect you. Because again, you think, oh, well, I do have some liberties, and I have these liberties, and I have those liberties. But what about things that not only affect you, you have to judge yourself thinking about what might affect others also. So we jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at what 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says. He says, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. Your liberty, and you think, oh, I can do this, and I can do whatever I want, and you start living the way you think you can live, and you're strong enough to live that way. What if it's a stumbling block, though, for somebody else? You have to consider that. That falls upon you. You're called not to be a stumbling block to somebody else, and therefore, if you have liberty to do something, you still have to choose whether it's wise or not, based on if it's going to affect somebody else. You're going to make somebody else fall because of what you're doing? That's something you have to judge of yourself and in yourself. I think about Lot. You know, Lot says he was a just man. And he went and lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. And this just man was Lot. And he was vexed by the evil things that they did in that town. But you know what? He was able to overcome it, I guess. Just Lot stayed just. He was righteous, I guess. But what about his family? You know, he lost his wife. His wife was running away, but for some reason she couldn't hold back. She had to look back, and he lost her. Was it worth it? Was it worth it for him to say, well, I can do it. I'm strong enough. And then he loses his wife. I think he lost his daughters too. Both of his daughters end up doing these wrong acts with him. And I think he lost them. Their minds were corrupted all because he thought, yeah, I can live right there in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not going to affect me that bad. I can take it. I'm strong enough. Well, you might be strong enough, but how is it going to affect those around you? Are there anybody else around you that's weaker and you're going to become a stumbling block to them? Be careful with your Christian liberty and how it might affect others around you. And that's where we looked at Romans chapter 14. He's warning against that. He's warning you that you may be able to do certain things and you think you're strong and you're going to live like this, but you have to be careful with the consequences this has. And your actions don't only have consequences for you, they also have consequences for others around you, especially weaker brethren. So we're in Romans. I'm just going to go to Romans to read that. I don't know why I went to Acts. Romans chapter 14. Verse 12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You're going to give account of yourself. So you should be judging yourself. You should be making sure that you are on the right track, that you are in the faith, that you are living by faith. You need to do that and judge yourself. And look at what verse 13 says. He says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Don't cause your brother to fall. Be careful with the liberties that you take. Now, while we're there in Romans chapter 14, look at what it says in verse 4. He says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Who are you to judge another man's servant? Listen, God has servants, and we're all serving. We're all serving in different ways, different capacities, different things. Who are you to judge another man's servant? Remember, God is going to judge their service. And God is going to judge your service. So, the first principle is, judge yourself. Judge your service. Make sure you're doing things the right way. Make sure you're doing things for the right reason. And then be careful when you're judging other people's service. Beware of how you judge other men's service. So I do want to talk about judging others. Service. Judging, you could say, ministers. People that are ministering. People that are that are serving God. How to judge them correctly. Because, again, there are moments, there are things that call for judgment. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's see what Paul talks about here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read in starting from verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Wow. So listen, there's a lot of manner. Like I said, in church, in our fellowship, there's going to be a lot of things that rise up and there's going to be a lot of things we have to judge. And how are we going to judge them? And we have to judge right. We have to judge correctly. He says a few things here that I think are important. First of all, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Whenever we judge somebody, we should judge according to God's standards, not according to our standards. Paul is saying, y'all are judging me, and he says, it's not a big deal that y'all are judging me. Like, why are y'all judging me this way? It's a very small thing that I should be judged of you, because y'all aren't judging according to God's standard. Y'all are judging according to men's judgment. They were making divisions, right, amongst each other. They were dividing up between this group. Oh, I'm of Cephas. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. They were all dividing up into groups based on what? Personality? Based on charisma? Based on popularity? I don't know what they were doing all these divisions amongst each other, but they weren't holding fast to God's standard. It was all these other things that they were dividing up for and judging Paul for. Okay, Paul wasn't Apollos. Paul wasn't this or that. But is that what God was looking at? Of a minister of God, the steward of God, should be found faithful. You know, I think he needs to be faithful in character. And whenever we judge ministers, we should judge them according to character. Not according to how well they speak and how nice they are and all these other things that we can't have, how popular they are. But what about their character, right? Timothy and in Titus, Paul tells us what a minister should look like. He tells us, right? Blameless. He should be self-controlled. He should be upright. He should have, there's a list of what the character of this man should be. And so those are the things we should look at. Whether he's faithful in these things or not. Faithful in consistency. He should serve Christ and not be looking for, to please men. We can find a few verses on that. I'm just going to go through these pretty quickly. We don't have a lot of time. We should judge them with their stewardship to the gospel. They were entrusted with the gospel, and they need to speak to please God and their faithfulness to caring for the flock. Remember, we're called to feed His sheep, and Peter tells us that we need to feed the sheep. But remember, when judging, you don't know all things. And when judging the ministry, and especially judging elders and judging pastors, you need to be careful when you do this. You should judge carefully, because you and I, we don't know all things. And that's what Paul says here, right? He says, don't judge anything before the time, because you don't know everything. And when God comes back, He's gonna discover the hidden things that nobody knew. He's gonna bring to light everything. And then the judgment will be done correctly. And then the judgment. So be careful when you do judge ministers and when you do judge pastors, not to go beyond what you're called to do. Right? In fact, Paul even says, I judge myself, and that's not even good enough. Even if I judge myself, I'm not justified, because I don't even know what my intentions are sometimes. I don't even know all things about myself sometimes. So be careful when you judge other people and be careful when you judge ministers. But remember that ministers, remember that, that pastors and elders do have to judge certain things, right? They have to make judgments. And, you know, that's why that is a big responsibility. Being a pastor, being an elder, it is a big responsibility, and we have to consider it. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 13. Just good thing to remind us when you're considering and when you have to just, you know, make judgments or simple judgments about the elders. Consider these things. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourself. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you." He says they are going to give an account for your souls. This is serious. So first of all, if an elder or if a pastor comes up to you and confronts you with something, boy, you know, you better take that in a very positive way, because they are going to give an account for your soul. They actually care for your soul.
Right.
And that's why he says, obey them. Right? If a pastor is going to come and talk to you about a situation, he cares for your soul. And so it's convenient for you to do it to listen, to consider what that pastor is telling you, because he's going to give an account for your soul. So he's doing it for your good. And if you're fighting the elders' decisions all the time, then that's just going to make it difficult. And it's going to make it difficult for you. And it's not going to be profitable for you. So, I mean, especially if you've got, you know, three or four elders that come to you with a situation and they all tell you, hey, you're doing wrong. You really need to repent. You really need to change. Wouldn't it be smart for you to think, hey, this is serious. I better consider what they're telling me.
Yeah.
You need to judge the intentions. You need to judge what the elders are doing, because the elders are actually trying to care for your soul. And so in Timothy and in Titus, it tells us that they must do these things. Another thing that they have to judge, Titus chapter 1, we'll go there. Titus chapter 1, verse 10 says, "For there are many unruly." Actually, we'll start in verse 9. "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake." In other words, there's people that are going to come into the church and they're going to be teaching wrong doctrine, wrong things. And the elders have to be able to make judgments on that. And they have to be able to exhort and teach and rebuke. They have to be able to stop the mouths of these men that are going to be doing this. So I think another thing that we need to realize is when we judge, we're going to have to judge their faithfulness to God's word. Now, I'll jump back to 1 Corinthians, because we are in 1 Corinthians, and that's where we're getting a lot of this. Like I said, they had a lot of different things going on with judgment. Paul talks about their judgment in 1 Corinthians a lot. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there in verse 29, he says, "Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge." One's going to be speaking, and what is everybody else doing? They're judging. Listen, you do have to judge. And we do have to judge. When somebody speaks, they're going to be judged. That's just how it is. That's why speaking, preaching, teaching is hard. It's not an easy thing to do. Because guess what? Everybody else is judging. There's one person up there speaking and everybody else is judging. And so should they. They should judge. You should judge the speaker. The speaker can't just say whatever he wants and get away with it. He has to be held accountable. And so what are we judging him according to? Well, we judge him according to the word, right? One that rightly divides the word. Let's go to a few things. How about 1 Peter chapter 4? 1 Peter 4, 11. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. If you speak, you speak according to the oracles of God. Remember Acts chapter 17, 11 talks about Paul whenever he was preaching and they accepted the word, but they actually compared everything he was saying. They had to compare it with the word of God to see if it was right. That's what we should be doing when somebody's teaching. That's why it's important to find what does the Bible say? What does the verses say? And we gotta make sure they're using it correctly. Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. He says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Listen, that's true. If they're not speaking according to this word, there's no light in them. Be careful of anybody that's trying to convince you of something that's not what this word says. And it's amazing how subtle people can be, where they actually make you think that the Bible is saying something it completely says. They're trying to convince you that it's saying the opposite of what it says.
Right.
It says one thing, and they're trying to find out all the ways to say, no, that's not what it's saying. And they'll convince you of that. You have to be able to know what does the Bible say and understand it, because that's where that's how we judge. We judge what the speaker is speaking according to the word of God. That's how we judge the speaker. So all teaching must be tested against the scripture. And we reject ministers who preach a false gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, right? He says, though we are an angel from heaven, teach you, speak to you, preach to you a different gospel than that we already gave to you, let him be accursed. He's going to be accursed. You're going to actually accurse that man who's speaking a different gospel than the one we received. You have to judge the words that come out. We can't just say, oh, we love everybody and everybody's words are the same and all religions and everything they say. No. Listen, if they're teaching that you can be saved through some other method, that is minimizing the work of Jesus Christ. Galatians, he goes on to tell you that if you're saved by your righteousness, you're justified by your works, by the law, and by what you do, then you have no part with Christ. Christ has become vain. Right? Christ died in vain. If you think justification can come by the law. Again, 1 John 4, 1 John tells us that if somebody comes teaching these things, you also have to separate yourself from them. In the other books of John, he tells you not to bid them Godspeed. Don't even say, God bless you on your way. Whenever Jehovah's Witnesses come over, I make sure I don't say, oh, God bless you on your way. No, I'm not wanting God to bless you while you're preaching a false gospel to other people. Sorry. That's not something I want to bless. That's something we don't bless. You got to judge how people are teaching based on the word of God. And when you judge, ministers, sometimes there's real judgment that have to come upon them, but you do want to always do it carefully, because remember, you don't know all things and you want to do it the right way. And I'll end with this. 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul tells us something here, and that's why I think we need to do it carefully. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And you know, this is talking to Timothy, which was, you know, to be a judge there. It should apply to us. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19 says, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. And them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. So yes, sometimes there has to be judgment made on ministers. But he says, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. You know, it shouldn't be something where, again, we're gossiping. If somebody comes to you with an accusation, now I personally think this is the general rule that we should apply to all. But I think Paul is just reminding Timothy, hey, especially with an elder, do this. But this should be held with all. If somebody comes to you with an accusation about somebody else, whoa. Let's not just take that and then spread it around or make our own judgments about that. Listen, if somebody brings something to you, okay, where are the two or three witnesses? Let's not just make this a simple thing where you tell me something and now my mind is corrupted about that other brother. And so especially with an elder, you have to be very careful not to just condemn them because one person got their feelings hurt or one person doesn't like them or one person starts accusing them. Let's make sure there's two or three witnesses. And if it comes out that they're doing wrong, and we've got the witnesses to support it, okay, then they need to be rebuked before all so that we can all fear. So there does come a moment where ministers need some rebuking, but it needs to be done carefully. And that's just something to consider. And I think, again, this whole thing about judgment fits into almost every area of life where we're doing it. Remember, don't take accusations against other people lightly. Don't just judge people quickly. Do judgment the right way. And remember to judge yourself first, because if you don't judge yourself, then how do you expect to be right whenever you come before God? So those are just some things about judgment, errors in judgment, and I think we'll move on for next week. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll take a little break, and then we'll be here for the second hour.